Let's pray together. Father, we are coming to you asking in Jesus' name that as we open the word, you'd open our hearts. Our hearts to understand, our eyes to see the great things of your word that you have promised would wash us, would sanctify us, would encourage us. Lord, would rejoice the heart, restore the soul, and meet any need that we have in this place today. And I thank you for the power of the word and the sufficiency of scripture today and the sufficiency, Lord, of your spirit. And Lord, I just ask that we'd see that today and believe that today so that, God, we'd leave this place having been washed and having been restored so that we might move to the next glory that you have us as we move from glory to glory. God, come, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We are in a series called Questions from Heaven, and now we're in another series within that series, and it's entitled, What's That in Your Hand? What's That in Your Hand? And the immediate context is of Moses. In chapter 3, where the burning bush and the angel of the Lord, or the Lord comes and speaks to him, and we looked at that last week, and this is after 400 years of slavery, that God is hearing the cries of those enslaved, and he is answering their prayers that they've been praying a long time. And he's going to raise up Moses, and he gives Moses this encounter with him, this burning bush that's not being consumed, and something awesome that's taking place. Now, let me just remind you that 40 years before, he had it in his mind that God was going to use him at that point to take Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land, to deliver them. And through a series of events, that didn't happen. He goes to the wilderness. He's in the wilderness for 40 years shepherding sheep, long forgotten of what maybe God might do in his life or for his people. And then God shows up. God shows up. And in this burning bush calls him. And he says, he says it very, very significant call assignment. Therefore, come now, verse 10 of chapter 3, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, look, I'm going to be with you, verse 12. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt and worship God at this mountain. And then Moses gave his second excuse. Listen, I'm going just to them. I don't know really who you are. Who are you? What am I going to tell them? Who is this God? And of course, God says, you tell them, I am that I am has sent you. I am the self-existing one, the one who has no beginning or end. The eternal God is calling you to this task, and this is who I am. You know, I think this is a really great scripture in the sense that I think that this scripture can speak to so much more, so much more. But this guy, he's making excuses. Who am I? God can't use me. I'm way gone too long. What I did 40 years ago, I just died to that dream. I died to that vision. Leave me alone. No, I'm going to be with you. Well, who are you? Who is this great God? Who is this that you're speaking to? I am that I am. I am that I am. I'm the eternal God, and I've come, and I'm speaking to you right now with this mission. Well, it's not me, God. Go find somebody else to do it. You know, I think about just this whole thought of this conversation, and finally, in chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord says to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, it's a rod, it's a staff, it's just a shepherd's staff. And then he said, you throw it down on the ground. It becomes a snake. He picks it up. It becomes a staff again. And the scripture says that this rod is no longer the rod of Moses, but it's the rod of God. It's in his hands. And so that's the question. What is in your hand? Now that's the context, the immediate context. But what's the context thousands of years later, 2022? What's the application? And I want to just say this because we have all these excuses in the church of why God can't use us. All kinds of excuses. And it all boils down to self. Who am I? Who are you to send me? This man, this woman who says, who am I? I'm disqualified, or I am ill-equipped. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the unction. I'm tired. I'm old. I've paid my dues. I've done it all. What in the world? Just let me sit back and do my thing. I'm 80 years old, for goodness sake. No, I've called you. Quit making excuses. You know, I think about this whole thought, what is in our hand in 2022? What has God given every believer that we have in common today? And so I wanna move to an application for you today, and just to say, this is who you are, this is what God's done, and this is what you have to be used of Him to make a difference for the kingdom of God in eternity. Do you want that? Do you even want to make a difference for eternity? Do you even want to hear God call you to something significant? Something that God wants to do in your life? I mean, do you really want it? Because I'm telling you, it's for all. This passage is for all of us. What we're about to say, if you're in Christ, we all have this. What we're going to talk about in a minute. We all have it. God's entrusted it to us. And the question is will I lay my life down and believe this is who I am, this is who this God is, and then this is what He's put in our hand to never throw down, but to use for the glory of God. What's that in your hand? And so I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to answer the questions today in 2022 of who is this God, or who am I, what do I have, and who are you, O God? And I think if we can look at these two things together, that perhaps there'll be a conviction that'll roll through our mind and heart to say, oh God, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. Take me, Lord, so I might be who I am. And what I have in my hand. So I want you to notice chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. No longer the same. Something new, something wonderful, something powerful, something so awesome. If any man is in Christ, if any woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. Watch, the old things are passed away, and behold, new things have come. And then he says, now all these things are from God. Who is God? He's the reconciler, who's reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Who am I? Who are you in Christ? You're a new creation. The old things, the old stuff, the old ways, the old way of life, the way of the flesh, the way of the carton, that's passed away. That's done. It's no longer. This is the beauty of God coming and wiping your sins and wiping you clean and giving you a new nature. The old is passed away. It's done. Can't bring it back. Can't do anything about it except believe God and trust God that He took you from the old and He gave you something new. And this newness is so awesome, folks. Because He says, listen, old things are passed away. That's in a past tense. It's done. But oh, all things have become new. It's in a greater Greek text. And it can be translated like this. For all things have passed away. All things have become new. They are being new. And they will continue to be new. What a promise. Because we get so tied up in this world, so distracted by the things of the world, distracted by the things that we do or done. It's good things. I'm telling you, good things. We get distracted with work. We get distracted with family. But then we get distracted with bad stuff. And we're not living the new life. It's not new. I can't tell you, as I was growing up early in ministry, how I'd hear so many people say, I just wish I could go back and have what I had when I first found Christ. I don't know about you, I don't want to go back. Because God promises something new and newer and newer and newer. But you've got to walk this out, folks. We've got to walk it out according to the power of the Spirit. Believe that it's all passed away. And if it's all passed away, God's dealt with it. He's done with it. Why are you not done with the past? Why are you not done with your former way that you lived, or the mistakes that you made, or the former things that people said to you, did to you, did to your kids, did to your family, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister? I think sometimes we get just yoked to the past and we don't believe this scripture that it's done. God remembers your sin no more. Why are you still remembering it? And guess what? He remembers your neighbor, your friend, your spouse's sin no more. Why do you keep bringing it up in your heart and your mind? Because it's done. Listen, will you believe that today? I think sometimes we have a hard time believing it, because if new things come and keep coming and will continue to come all my life, that means I have to make a decision that I'm going to let go of the old, I'm going to embrace the new, and just be available for what God has for me. But that scares some of you. It scares you. I mean, lots of us have grown up thinking, I'm afraid that God's going to call me to do something like Moses. Or he's going to call me to China. I used to hear that all the time. And then I got here, and then a number of years later, God called us all to China. Amen? Amen. Or to Mexico, or to Cambodia. Or to Zanzibar. Or to Comanche. Or across the street. To my neighbor. Listen, if you'll believe that it's all passed away, and if there's nothing that you could do to earn the favor of God in the past, but by believing and receiving the grace of God, what makes you think that's changed? I got to get to this place in my life to believe that it's all passed away. Now, if you're still living in the old, if you're still nurturing the old, if you're still nurturing the flesh, something has to change. Because that's not who you are in Christ, if indeed you are in Christ. Whole thing's passed away. Behold, that's who we are. We're new creatures in Christ. That's who we are, new, not old. Not far away, not long ago, but right now, right here. And some of you need to, I'm going to say this, some of us need to get to the place to let that which was long ago catch up with what is right now a reality that Jesus says is a reality right now. Right now. So that God can use you and fulfill the assignments that God gives to every single one of us to live out. Moses has an assignment. But he's making the excuse, who am I? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're in Christ and you ask that, who am I? He'll tell you, you're a new creation in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, those old things have passed away, new things have come. Your new nature is divine. It's divine. It's the divine that's living in you. That light that God says you are is divine. It's not human. It's not flesh. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, living in you. Living in you. That's who you are. Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, ready to do what God asks us to do in every area of our life. That's who we are. We're new. Now, how did that happen? He says it happened that within all these things from God, and really this is who God is to me. If I say, God, who are you in this passage of Scripture? I'm the giver of all good things. I'm the reconciler. Because he says all these things are from God. What's from God? All the newness, all getting rid of the old and the junk that we continue to lock onto, to be embracing, that just brings us to the pit. No, all these things are from God. Watch. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that? What is reconciliation? Now, I want to back up for a moment and just say, who is this God? Who is he? If you go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, you look at the beginning of creation that speaks also of a time before time. In the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now watch. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now look at verse 14. And the Word, what? The Word who was in the beginning, who was with God and was God and is God, he became flesh. It's Jesus. And he dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, I often think about, when I read this passage of Scripture, I think about Genesis 1. And you have, according to here in Genesis 1, during the creation, the Trinity at work. The Holy Spirit is, the Word is vivified. He's over the waters. He's over the chaos. He's over just stuff that's not there yet. He's brooding over it, vivifying, speaking it into life, or just brooding over it. And then you've got God the Father speaking the Word, and the Word becomes what? Flesh, and dwells among us. Trinity, opening pages of the Old Testament. Trinity, this God who lives in us, who not only sparks the divine, but brings us all the way through life, causing that divine life to shine brighter and brighter. And the question is will I really believe this? No, this God, who is this true God who called you and reconciled you to himself? He's God. He's forever God. He's the great I am, like he told Moses. He's the great God who's our Father, who gives good gifts to his children. Look on the screen, or turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. This powerful passage of just this great God who wants to be the Father. And in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks is receiving. And whoever is seeking is finding. And to him who's knocking, it'll be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Amen? This good Father, God before time, no self-existing one, makes his presence known at creation, makes his presence known to Moses, and then makes his presence known through the Lord Jesus Christ, when God became flesh and dwelt among us, so that we might become children of the Father who gives good gifts, who gives the Holy Spirit to us. How did he do that? He reconciled you. He gave you, he reconciled you and then gave you that kind of ministry. You know, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation, first of all, implies separation, enmity, no peace, no oneness, separation from God because of sin. Sin which destroys the most important principles and desires of the heart of God. That which is most important to God, the enemy wants to steal, destroy it, and take it away. And the greatest, one of the greatest virtues of the kingdom of God in God is what is called oneness and unity with God. Relationship. His heart is that you are one with God. But the problem is a thing called sin. It's not a little thing, it's a big thing. It is called separation from our God. Isaiah chapter 59, 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Sin is the problem. Any of us who have walked with God and we've read the Bible and read the Word knows that through one man, Adam, all sinned. And you and I came into this life with a sinful nature. Scripture calls it the flesh, but it's the sinful nature. Scripture calls it the old man. That's what you came in with. And sometime along the way, you began to realize, even though you might not could have articulated, that there was something missing. And you grew up, if you didn't grow up in the church, where the church taught you, let me tell you what's missing, it's God in a relationship with Him. But most of the world, they don't hear that. And some folks grow up in the church and they go looking for something that will never ever satisfy. And so there's many of us who'll chase alcohol and drugs. And some of us in here have chased the job and the career and the retirement account. Some of us have chased these things. Some of us have really tried to be good spouses because we think if we have this marriage, everything will be good. Let me just tell you, it won't be good unless Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of that. And He's the centerpiece of your life. So we're running, man. We're running, running, running to get all we can and count all we got. We do that. And we think our success is based upon the money in the bank or the house or the car or because I'm providing for my children and my family, which indeed you should be, because a man who does not provide is worse than an unbeliever. Hear what I'm saying? But oh, it can become the God. It can become the idol so quick. So quick, because I'm trying to stuff everything that never fits into my heart but God. Have you been there before? You may be there right now. God wants to be one with you. Matter of fact, a few weeks ago when we talked about Paul wanting to know Jesus, I mean, it's the same kind of word as a man knows his wife and vice versa. It is intimate. God wants an intimate, growing, vibrant relationship with you. That's why we believe that Christianity is not some religion, and religion as in how what people call it today. It's a relationship, a oneness. And we see this throughout, even like we just talked about, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. At work, together, one. And then he creates a man, and then out of man, a woman. And Jesus says in Matthew 19:5, he said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So they're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. The very first thing he did was create marriage to represent the oneness of the Father so that we might proclaim, and our own marriages might reflect the oneness of God. And then when Jesus dies for the church, he's known as the bridegroom who lays down his life for his bride, his wife. And so when we made our vows to God, wasn't led this way in your vows, but the vow was, oh God, I'm created to worship you. And now we're created to worship you. And the way we do that is we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, you love your wives like Christ loved you, lay down his life for you. The scripture talks about nourishing and cherishing your wife, living with her in an understanding way and honoring her. And wives, you're to be one and to walk that oneness out. You're to be to your husband as you are to the Lord, which is a good question. Well, how am I to the Lord? And then I see to it that I respect my husband. And then God says to older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. It's how we achieve or how we walk in line with this oneness that God has designed for us to walk in with God, with one another, with our spouse. It's a oneness thing. That's what reconciliation is. There's enmity and separation, no oneness, and then Jesus comes to reconcile us. Then there's the oneness of a family. In Malachi 4, 5, and 6, it says, God will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers so that he will not come and smite the land with a curse. There's a lot of us in this place that think that the things that are going wrong with America is all this liberal stuff that's taking place, especially most of us in this room. But let me ask you a question. Do you think it might be more spiritual than that? Then maybe it's a fatherless thing where a divorce happens and the child is usually ripped from the father, given to the mother to marry somebody to be raised by another man. Do you think maybe that's why marriages are so attacked today? Because it's the ultimate platform by which we give glory to God and imitate him. Wants to rip it. Wants to kill, steal, and destroy what you have right now, right here, as husband and wife. And you may be here today, never realizing, oh, my marriage is to reflect the beautiful love relationship between Christ and the church. Is that what this marriage is about? You mean it's not about me, wanting what I want, when I want it, now I want it? No. It's about you loving God first, and then your closest neighbor, which is your spouse. That's what this is about. This is about the glory of God, reconciliation. Instead, we see it over and over and over. It's just irreconcilable. Really? It's not redeemable? It's not fixable? It can never be reconciled? I think some of us would look at our own lives, even as adults, and the things that we've done, and we come to Christ, and say, there's no way God would want me. That's what Moses is saying, really. I've been separate from God for 40 years. Yet God comes back to remove whatever has separated us from him. The Bible calls it enmity. Enmity. And that must be in all of our relationships removed from our lives. Enmity. You've got the reflection of oneness, the triune God, the oneness in marriage and families, God restoring the hearts of fathers to their children, lest he come smite the land with a curse. And then there's the oneness of the body of Christ. John 17, 11 on the screen, I'll just read it. I am no longer in the world, Jesus is praying this, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one as we are, Trinity. And then we move down a little bit. I don't ask on behalf of these alone, in other words, the disciples, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. Isn't that interesting? We can all be about the Great Commission. And so we're going to go tell people about Jesus. But do you know what the scripture says? The world knows that God sent Jesus because of our oneness. Wow. You know why that is? Because you can go be a missionary the rest of your life and be lost, reflecting the devil instead of Jesus. You could come to church and be in church all your life and yet be mean, mean, mean. I have a friend, grew up on top of bars all over North Texas because that's what his dad did, bars and bartended. Didn't know the Lord until somebody came and picked him up and brought him to church. And he got to church. He said, you know, as I grew up a little bit and God called me, I realized that some of the meanest people I ever met were not in the bar, but in the church. I mean, sometimes I'd go down and I'd skate on the dance floor down there, and there'd still be these guys there, and they would be the nicest people you'd ever seen. And yet I go into ministry, and some people can be so, so mean. That ought not be. Because we're new creations. We are reconciled to God. And in God's economy, amongst the kingdom of God, watch, there's not enmity. And I have an opportunity, the Bible calls it, to be at peace with all men as long as it depends on me. Enmity is a horrible thing. If you've had enmity with your children, enmity with your parents, enmity with your marriage, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Every one of us knows that. It's awful. But what happened when we were reconciled, that God took away the enmity that we had with Him because we were separated from Him. And so what is this reconciliation? It's bringing back what is separated, intended to be one. Look on the screen at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. It's the Father's good pleasure for the fullness to dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace, watch, through the blood of His cross, through Him. And I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were, watch, formerly engaged and alienated in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death. Watch, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless beyond reproach. Wow! Holy and blameless beyond reproach. You mean that's what reconciliation is? It's a bringing back of a oneness so that I might look like this. That I might look like this. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged, He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless beyond reproach. Wow. Behind this presentation of God. And then what's so remarkable answers the question, what's that in your hand? And I'm going to say this, quote this. He reconciled you to Himself. Now watch, verse 19, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I'm going to tell you what you have in your hand. You have a word of reconciliation. It's the gospel of Jesus. Where Jesus stands on the cross, takes the hand of God, and takes the hand of man, and brings us together to be one again. What we lost in the garden. And then He did that for you, removing the enmity, making peace with God. But the key is this, what did He do? He didn't count trespasses. That's why there's enmity in relationships. Because we hold grudges. It's true. We hold grudges. We count the trespasses against us. Wife, I'm going to count the trespasses against me. Husband, I'm going to count the trespasses. I'm going to count them. I'm going to put them in order, all the things that you've done and not done. Church, I'm going to count all the stuff that you've not done for me or did or whatever. And there's lots of us who've been hurt through the years. I saw my dad hurt at 29 years old. 2 years in Christ. And it stalled him for a lot of years. It stalled him. Reconciliation is about deciding that I'm not going to count trespasses. Why? Because that's what God did. Let me ask you a question. How many are counting trespasses in your relationships? Because this reconciliation, folks, is for marriage. First of all, it's for you and me to be one with God. It's for your marriage right now, right here, whatever it is, wherever, however you got there. It's for you to be walking this reconciliation power of God. It's for your family so that I'm walking in reconciliation with my son and my daughters. But it's also church to be reconciled to the church of the living God. And I'm talking big church. Not necessarily local church, although that's a part of it. It's where God removes the enmity from my heart and life so that we might be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gives you the ministry of reconciliation. He wants to use you to bring together those folks that are at enmity. Those people in your lives. Maybe it's happening to you right now. And you're thinking, oh God, there's no hope. But there is, because if you're in Christ, all things are passed away and new things have come. He reconciled you and then said, oh, by the way, here's my word of reconciliation. It's yours. It's yours. It's mine. It's Cottonwood's. And I just want to say this because I believe it with all my heart. If we'll get to this place and walk out 1 Corinthians 13, where we keep no trespass, that we do not keep a record. You know, I've seen this. I've seen this in the best marriages where they have their seasons. Have you had your season? It's been hard and difficult. And the only way you got to the next is you quit counting the trespasses. That's how you got better. You forgave. You released. You didn't remind. You let it go. I've had people say, I think you can forgive, but you can never forget. Oh, really? Oh, really? And I tell you, we get into places and we get into relationships where we just find people that will placate us. And all of a sudden, you're walking in an offense that no one ever did to you. Have you ever done that? You take somebody else's offense, trespass, and you come alongside of them and you walk in it and you nurture it and you massage it so that the offense becomes anger and anger becomes unforgiveness becomes anger and anger becomes bitterness. And when bitterness comes, it defiles many. I'm speaking the truth here. And I'm speaking to me as well. Because I'm just a man. And I know my own limitations. And I know the stuff that can get me riled and get me riled good. So I'm not just pointing a finger. I'm hoping I'm pointing a finger to God. And God is doing something in your heart right now, birthing within you that all things are new and it's becoming new. And that I have a ministry of reconciliation because I've been reconciled. And so what do I do with this ministry of reconciliation? First, I don't hold trespasses. I get it right as quickly as I can. Because that thing wants to get ingrained in us. Am I right? I'm right. I've seen it. I've walked in it for 4 or 5 years. 4 or 5 years. From the time I was 23 years old to 27, it was ingraining in me. And I had to get to this place to forgive and not count the trespass so that I could be right with my God like never before. And then he gives you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then In verse 20, he makes us ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, because he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. He didn't commit sin, became sin on our behalf, so that we might what? Become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, they do life the Jesus way. And then all of a sudden you have this ministry of reconciliation. Ambassadors for Christ in a world of chaos, no peace, separation from God. And yet he calls us to reconciliation and gives us this ministry. What, let me ask you this question. What's in your hand? You may not feel it, you may not believe it, but if you're in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have come new. And you know, it's not a staff like Moses, but it is a banner. And it's the banner that says, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Now, I'm going to ask Maddie to come on up for a minute. Maddie? Sutler? Oh, there you are. So Maddie has been on a trajectory to cross-cultural mission. Here, come on. You got to get close. He gets upset when I'm far apart. Is that good? Am I good there? Okay. And sure, she was Craig's intern this year, and she went to Cambodia and got back. And she texted me last week and said, hey, I would like to come before elders before, before I go back to school. And so the first thing she did when she sat down before elders this morning, she said, is that God has been leading me to cross-cultural missions. Is that right? Yeah. And tell them what you told
them. So I got to go before the elders this morning and just share that the Lord has been leading me to serve his people overseas. And I felt that for a while, but just wanting to put voice to that and vocalize that, just because there's a lot of accountability there. And now I know that there are people praying for me through that and people that are going to hold me accountable in that calling. And so.
Yeah, and so I thought, why not just not just the elders, but to you, to say I'm putting a stake in the ground for accountability, and I'm saying God has a call on my life to the nations. She's a new creation. Old things are passed away. New things have come. And God reconciled her to himself and gave her the ministry of reconciliation. Committed the word of reconciliation to her. But this is not just about our sister. It's about every one of us. Because you may not be called across cultural missions. That's fine. But I'm telling you this, I believe with all my heart, I hope you'll have it with great conviction. What he's put in your hand is a ministry and a word of reconciliation. And God has given us gifts of the Spirit to walk that out. Different. Like the members of our body. We're not all hands. Can you imagine if we're all hands? All feet? No. God has designed you in a very particular way when he gives us the word and ministry of reconciliation. What's in your hand? Maddie, I'm just so grateful that you want to make this public. I think it is very important for a public decision, just like baptism. And I was just so impressed with that maturity to be able to say, I need to tell leadership. I need to tell, yes, I need to tell the body so that you can pray for her and lift her up, that she's making a stand today to say, I've got my face toward the glory of God first, but I've also got it overseas. She is going to take the word of reconciliation And she's going to give it away. And she's going to speak it to a people that many have never heard of Jesus. And I look forward to the day you graduate from college and you come back to Cottonwood and we set you apart, because I'm going to remember this day, and so will you. Amen. 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 Hey, you can sit down now. Okay. Thank you. Bow with me. I'm going to talk to you. Irreconcilable differences. Counting trespasses. I praise God that the scripture says that while we were sinners and enemies and ungodly, that God sent Jesus to reconcile us. While we were that. And I don't know how God's speaking to you, because there's a number of things and a number of ways that God can be speaking. He could be speaking to you right now because you feel fracture. Maybe you're watching online, or one day you have felt fractured by the church, or maybe you have fractured in your marriage, or maybe you have a fracture at job with a relationship or with somebody in your life, or maybe that fracture is just, it just seems unbearable. But I want to tell you, you have a new nature in your life, and you have the word of reconciliation, and you have a ministry of reconciliation. Walk it out, and I'm going to promise you, as you do that with God, you'll see reconciliation happen in some form or fashion. Something that may be dead in your life that God wants to call back into being. Something that's dead that God wants to raise up. That's what the reconciliation power of God did for you and me. It's what He'll continue to do throughout your life. Father God, I thank You so much for what's in our hand today. I am so absolutely, as a pastor, so excited to really just see with a vision in my heart that everyone that's sitting here right now has something in their hand that's very powerful. It's the word of reconciliation, and it is the ministry of reconciliation. God, would You birth within our church every single person sitting here today, watching online, every single person, would You birth within them a faith to believe, yes, that's what's in my hand. And God, I'm going to do whatever You ask me to do. If I need to get in the car and I talk to my family about, would You forgive me for this attitude that I've had? Or to ask my spouse to forgive me for this attitude that I've had. And then I want to change that attitude so that we can walk according to what God has called us as reconcilers of a lost world to Jesus. I thank You, Lord, today. I thank You for the ministry and the word of reconciliation. May we take this word today. May it transform us so that in the weeks ahead, we are speaking the word of reconciliation and we're bringing folks back together. Lord, I pray for Maddie today. And I ask that the Spirit of God would rest upon her as hands were laid upon her this morning for the ministry that God's calling her to. May we be the church that loves her to those places to be equipped, and the places that are geographical,